Sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? Welcome. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And, man, I'm telling you, we've had some great shows this week. And today will be another one, I'm sure. Know Thy Enemy. Man, I'm really looking for a great conversation with that one. Know Thy Enemy. Man, I'm telling you, a lot of you don't even know who the enemy is. But we're going to get into that in a little while. How y'all doing out there today? Hey, make sure y'all stop by audibletrial.com/letstalk and check out your free book, your free audio book. Hey, you can't be free, right? 30 days, you can't be free. So check that out, okay? But anyway, other than that, man, what's going on out there? It's glad to see all you in the house once again. You're breathing. Yeah, I know some of you say, well, I don't feel good. Well, you're still breathing. You're breathing enough to say you don't feel good. Or you're having a rotten day. You're not having a rotten day. You know why? Because you're breathing. But I show y'all forget about that part of it. But it's all good in the neighborhood. Yeah, it really is. Yes, sir, buddy. All right. So once again, you want to be a part of the show today? Hey, I welcome you. Just give us a call at 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And also you can join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate in the show. And if you send me an email and you want to read live on the air, just once you send the email, you know, put an annotation there that you want to read live, and I'll make it happen for you. See how easy that is? Because we want everybody to participate, and we like to hear different points of view. Yeah, we really do. And here on Let's Talk, we pride ourselves in making sure all our guests are respected, they feel welcome. And you know, we don't do all the cussing and all that nonsense that go on some other shows. You know, we strictly, let's have a conversation as adults. Now, I know you may hear a little yelling here and there, but, you know, that's just because most of our callers and people in the chat room, you know, most of our listeners are very passionate about what they're talking about. So, you know, voices may get raised a little bit, but, you know, other than that, we keep it calm and cool. So, hey, everybody's welcome on this show because we love your opinion. We really do. All right? All right. So, anyway, Anyway, man, I'm telling you, there's a, I was riding this morning and with my son, and there's a news story that came over the air where in Memphis they're paying, they're considering paying students for performing well in school. You know, if they get A's, they get so much money, they get B's so much and so forth and so on. You know, they get paid if, you know, they have a good attendance and things of that nature. Now, the one of the radio commentators, he felt that this was not the way to do it because it was once again showing why are we paying students to do something the parents should make sure they're supposed to do anyway. You know, and I actually, when I asked my child, I asked him, I said, what do you think about that? You know, he's 11, so you know how that works, you know. And basically, he sat there for a moment. He said, I don't know. He said, because you're going to get me if I don't do my work. And you dang on right. So I don't know. I guess it just depends on how you feel about it. You know, in some instances, you know, if the family is struggling, I guess the little extra income would help. I think it would. However, you know, some say, well, it's just setting a bad example. And I thought about that also. And what I thought about and what I came up with, not really, because if anything, it's helping them realize that if you want anything, you have to work for it. You know, you have to work for it. Now, well, you know, whether that will be approved or not, I don't know, but we shall see. And you can look that up. It's the Memphis School District. I don't know exactly where you may find it at. I don't know. You probably can find it on USA Today or CNN, somewhere like that. Yeah, but check it out. It's very interesting for sure because I think maybe they should get a little bit of money. Maybe that'll help some of us stay in school, you know, and at the same time help some families that's struggling really bad. But we shall see. We shall see. We'll stay on top of that. And I also see that the president is, you know, he's talked to the governor of Missouri and, you know, the mayor and all that good stuff. And he's calling for peace and calm and, yeah, right. He hasn't even called for that in Chicago, his own city, where he supposed to grew up at. So how he going to tell somebody else? But, you know, I'm not getting into that either. You know, I could get into a whole lot of stuff, man, I'll tell you. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm leaving that alone because I need to leave it alone. Yeah, it's just like that. You know, we 4 days into, 5 days into this thing, and now he's calling, talking about peace. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody who's coming in. I got to get my shout-outs out real fast. Oh, my goodness. Look who found their way into the house today. We got Ava Indiana in the house. Oh, man, I must be doing something pretty well then if he showed up. I got guests 756, 759, and 764. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. You know, but you say I'm getting a petition signed for me to take over the show. Yeah, good luck with that one. And also I'm a switchboard right now. I got the beautiful Divine Queen One and the vivacious Ebony Empress. So I got those on my switchboard, and I'm just waiting on everybody else to get here because we really gonna have some. I'm looking forward to a very, very interesting conversation on Know Thy Enemy, because. So you know we're gonna be rocking and rolling. All right. So, but before we do, y'all know we have the song of the day, and. I have something else I want y'all to listen to. I'm going to call it the motivation the motivational speech the other day. I mean, because, man, when you hear this speech right here, if you don't get hyped and pumped up, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But first thing, here it is. We're going to start off with the song for the day. You don't want to act right. Okay, there we go.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd. Fresh, cool, young Lou, trying to cash his microphone, check 212. Wanna believe my own hype, but it's too untrue. The world brought me to my knees, what have you brung you? Did you improve on the design, did you do something new? Where you naming on the guest list, who brung you? You, the more famous person you come through, and the sexy lady next to you, you come too. And then the hitman, standing outside of heaven, waiting for God to come and get me. I'm too uncouth, unschooled to the rules, and too gumshoe, too much of a newcomer, and too uncool, like Shadow and LeVille. I battle with it well, though I need a holiday like lady who sung blue. Go back, whatever you did, you undo. Heavy as heaven, the devil owe me two tons too.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, 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 yeah.
And you better wear your shades. Spotlight here can burn holes through the stage, down through the basement, past the Indian graves where the dinosaurs laid, and out through shining elements, airliners magnified times five. That's pointed at the rhyme of ricochets off the moon and sets the forest ablaze. Now that's important to say, cause even with all that, most of us don't want it to fade. Duh. We want it to break, meaning we want it to grow, meaning we want it to stay. Like the governor called and he told him to wait, unstrap him from the chair and put him back in his cage. The audience ain't fazed, and they ain't gon' clap, and they ain't gon' praise. They want everything back that they paid, cause they've been waiting since 10 to see the lights get dim.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here, and the lights are on, and they wanna show. Oh, 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 yeah.
Chauffeur, come and take me away, cause I've been standing in this line for like five whole days. Me and security ain't getting along, and when I got to the front, they told me all of the tickets were gone. So just take me home where the mood is mellow, when the roses are thrown, M&Ms are yellow, when the light bulbs around my mirror don't flicker. Everybody gets a nice autographed picture, one for you and one for your sister, who had to work tonight but is an avid listener. Every song's a favorite song and mics don't feedback. All the reviewers say you need to go and see that. And everybody claps cause everybody is pleased. And then they all take the stage and start performing for me. Like ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here and the microphone's, and they want. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here and the lights are on, and they wanna show. Oh, 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 yeah. If you are what you say. Have no fear.
there will never be a point in your time, in your life, where it's the right time to do a great thing. If you're waiting for that perfect moment, that perfect timing, it's not going to happen. You know what you have to do? You have to create the perfect time and the perfect opportunity and the perfect situation.
That a lot of people become comfortable. They stop growing. They stop wanting anything. They become satisfied. People getting ready to go to jobs that they don't like. Jobs that are making them sick. You see, when you're not pursuing your goal, you are literally committing spiritual suicide. When you have some goal out here that you're stretching for and reaching for that takes you out of your comfort zone, you'll find out some talents and abilities you have that you didn't know you have. When the messenger of misery visits you, what are you going to do? What will keep you in the game?
There are things that you think you'll never need to know, that you may only need to know one time in your life, but that could save your life because you had that knowledge.
Unless you attempt to do something beyond that which you've already mastered, you will never grow. What is it that you looked at some point in time and you decided that you couldn't do it? That you talked yourself out of it?
You're waiting on your next door neighbor to make it happen for you. It may not happen. If you're waiting on your mother or your father, they may be so ancient in their thinking that they don't understand this opportunity that you have. And if you're waiting on them, it may never get done. You don't beg average people to be phenomenal. You don't beg good people to be phenomenal. You just are phenomenal and you will attract phenomenal.
What reason can you remember that you can call on, that you can reach on, that can make you get back up? Find that reason.
If you're not where you are, if you're not where you want to be, if you don't have what you want to have, if you're not where you think you should be at this particular place, it has nothing to do with the system, but it has everything to do with the fact that you're not making the sacrifice. I want you to make that dream become a reality, because if you don't, you will be working for somebody else to make their dreams become a reality.
Everybody is against you or don't believe in you no more. And let me tell you something, that's a lonely feeling. It's a lonely feeling, particularly people that you're doing it for. Most people take their greatness, take their ideas to the graveyard with them.
Listen to me, if it was easy, everybody would do it. There are people right now who are working who don't want to work. There are people who hate their job, but they keep getting up to do it.
The wealthiest place on the planet is the graveyard. Because in the graveyard, we will find inventions that we never, ever were exposed to. Ideas, dreams that never became reality. Hopes and aspirations that were never acted upon.
The question is, what are you going to do with your time? What drives you? Greatness is a lot of small things done well. Day after day, workout after workout, obedience after obedience, day after day.
When things don't work out for you, when things happen that you could not anticipate, what are the reasons that you can think of that can keep you strong?
You will never, ever be successful until you turn your pain into greatness, until you allow your pain to push you from where you are to push you to where you need to be. Stop running from your pain and embrace your pain. Your pain is going to be a part of your pride, a part of your product. I challenge you to push yourself.
See, it's easy to be on the bottom. It doesn't take any effort to be a loser. It doesn't take any motivation, any drive in order to stay down there on a low level. But it calls on everything in you. You have to harness your will to say, I'm going to challenge myself.
I mean that what you did last week don't count. Today is the only important day. There are 86,400 seconds in a day, and how you use those are critical. You got 86,400 today, and what you do today is going to cement who you are. Nobody's going to talk about what you did last week.
That the biggest enemy you have to deal with is yourself. There's an old African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm.
you have this opportunity of a lifetime. It means absolutely nothing if you don't take advantage of it in the lifetime of this opportunity.
I got a saying that when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for, to work day and night for, to give up your time, your peace, and your sleep for, if all that you dream and scheme is about it, and life seems useless and worthless without it, it's time now. If you want to make this your decade, you've got to start saying yes to your life. You've got to start saying yes to your dreams. Yes to your unfolding future. Yes to your potential. As opposed to saying no.
When you die, die on E. Leave no dream left behind, God. Leave no opportunity left behind. When you leave this earth, accomplish every single thing you can accomplish. Listen to me, you're going to be here one day, but you'll never get here if you give up, if you give in, if you quit. And finally, guys, you got to want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe.
Wow. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if that didn't put some, whew, boy, make the hair stand up on you and just, oh my goodness, hype you up a little bit, I don't know what to say about you. Woo, man, I am telling you. I am telling you, boy. My goodness. And that clip right there is called The Enemy Within. And that's what I want to talk about on the show today. The enemy. Know thy enemy. Know thy enemy. But you know who thy enemy is? You. You are your own enemy. I know a lot of people won't believe that, but that is a part of the issue that we have as humans. Now, notice I didn't say black, white, red, purple, green, blue, orange, whatever. I said humans. Because we good at hiding. We're great at hiding behind such things as so-called religion and our title at work. And we're easy to blame someone else for whatever failures or problems we have. That's because all of us are at some point or another are really afraid to look at our enemy within us. We are. So, in other words, how can you really say you have any enemies when you don't know who the enemy is? Thus, know thy enemy. And you know, the man said it right. I mean, the young man on the clip said it right. You know, you get knocked down. And I had never, it was interesting. I have never thought about it, but he's right. When you get knocked down, roll over on your back. Huh? If you can roll over on your back, that means you can get up. Because you're still looking up. Ooh, but don't y'all get me started. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm telling you. All right. So, anyway, topic for today is Know That Enemy. You're welcome to call in and you know, let's get on with this thing. 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget our chat room where conversation is always going. www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right, so I see we got one. Ooh, we got two hands up already. So let's not prolong it, right? Let's go on and bring it on in and let's get on. Okay, first we're going to welcome Miss Ebony Empress into the house, and then we're going to bring in Miss Michigan. Hello. How y'all doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing outstanding. I'm hyped.
I know. I can hear that. I was like,
"What's going on, Mr. Talk?"
Wow.
I'm doing well, Mr. Michigan. Now, don't
good,
forget.
How you doing, sis?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good to hear you.
All right.
Well, so I love your motivation tonight. That was really great. Peace.
Oh, wow. Thank you. You know what? And I was looking for information, you know, as far as the show, you know. And then what happened? I ran across that. And once I heard it, believe it or not, I played it three times. I actually played it three times before I actually downloaded it for the show. And I'm like, wow, if that doesn't get you motivated, but it falls right into what I want to talk about today, know thy enemy, you know, because a lot of people would want to blame everything else, but they're their own enemy. And they're afraid to look within themselves and realize that that enemy is there, and that is really what's holding them back.
That's true. So that's what I'm going today.
But I'm not going to hog up a thing. Mr. Michigan, I know you got something you want to add to it.
Absolutely. Yesterday we got cut off before I wanted to say something to Supreme. I hope we'll call back in. But, yeah, you know, I think that does play a part in it, like you said, being able to know yourself. But I don't think in this day and age, I don't think that that is the number one problem for groups of people. It's really knowing how to compete, you know, in a global society where, hell, people are competing. And if you don't have the right tools, you know, to compete, so you can feel good about yourself and not have the right skills or technical know-how to compete, and hey, you know, you'll still be at the bottom of the barrel. So the motivational stuff is certainly necessary, but when you're in a competitive society, there's a specific way you need to compete. And to me, that's specialized knowledge. You can't get that from a motivational speech. So well, I would start by saying that.
Well, you know what, Mr. Michigan, that's a very interesting point of view. It really is. But I have a question for you. You keep mentioning competing. So what is stopping people from competing then? What is stopping them from competing?
Well, I think the knowledge of what the competition is, you know, it's a competition for resources. It's a competition for carving out space on the planet. You know, it's a competition of groups. And so, in order to to compete, you need to have the technological skills. Groups need to have a generation. We should be putting out generations of scientists, engineers, and things of that nature. That's how you compete, man. You can't compete in this global society by feeling good about yourself. If you're not spitting out cutting edge technology through your next generation of scientists, engineers, and things of that nature, man. You're
always
at
the bottom. See?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're both related because I get what Mr. Michigan's saying in that you do need...
Okay. Uh-oh. Wait a
minute.
Oh,
my God.
Okay, you're back now? Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
yeah, that was Vicky. All right, so what I was saying was that you do need the skills, right? You need to understand the marketplace. You need to understand what's going on, in the area that you're trying to be successful in. So, for example, my son, he just completed an accounts degree, okay? He did a degree and 4 years of study. But at the beginning of the studying, my thing to him was, right, you can't just study for 4 years blanketly and wait at the end to come out and get yourself a job or to get into your own business. You've got to have a strategy for how you're going to get your way in the marketplace amongst all the competition of all those young people who are going into your world and trying to get the same outcome as you. So we developed a strategy, and the strategy was that over the 4 years, he would learn a lot about business, enterprise, how to be an entrepreneur. He would also try a number of different areas for work experience. So he's volunteered over the 4 years. He actually has worked in a number of different industries, right, you know, just volunteered, done bookkeeping, done all sorts, everything from working in a supermarket right up to, you know, working with professionals and in corporate centers as well. And the idea was for him to gain the confidence and the understanding of the area that he wants to work in. And, you know, he wants to work in finance. He wants to be around money. So, you know, my thing was get as much experience as you can. Actually, that's worked for him. You know, he just completed his degree. The job he wanted was to work in taxation. He's got a job in the civil service, and is his first job straight out of university. And for a young black man, that is a good thing to achieve. But he did that because he had a strategy. And it's not, but behind the strategy, he needed the motivation, because, you know, the motivation is what helps you to keep going. It's not easy to get up every day, even though you've got your goals and you have your strategy. Different things in life, different curveballs are going to hit you and are going to, you know, make you start believing sometimes that you cannot do it, you know. So you have to have the motivation to make you do what you say you want to do. And that's the great thing about Les Brown and all those people out there who are motivators, because, yeah, they are the seasoned people who have been through it and have the words to help you sometimes to see something that you can't see for yourself, that you can do it, you are big enough, you're great enough, just believe in yourself. So, you know, I think it works together. You know, you need the motivation, but you also need the skills, and you need to walk your talk. Whatever it is you say you want to do, you have to see it through. And one of the skills, one of the things that I've taught my children, and I hope they see me as an example also, is to start something and finish it. You know, if you do anything, play 100% out there, you know, but start it. And most importantly, finish it. And that's the problem with a lot of people, particularly young people and people in our community. We start stuff, but we can't see it through. So if you can never complete a task, you'll never know whether you're good enough, or you can never know your success if it's even there, because you never see it through to the end. So that's my experience. Just wanted to share that.
Wow, those are some very great points. And you know what? You kind of took my thunder away when you said all that, because I was going to get into, you know, the individual. I mean, I understand what Mr. Michigan is saying, and I'm not denying that you have to know your market, but I do feel that before you can get that knowledge and you know, start competing, you have to be motivated from within to go out there and seek that. You know, if you're not motivated from within, and you're right, sometimes, you know, a rah-rah message or whatever may not do it for you. But a lot of times, you know, it's that inner motivation that's within you that may get stirred up. And sometimes we have to actually take a look at that. So I'm agreeing with both of you, but I still I do believe that without that self motivation, that, you know, that's like the enemy within, because you scared to go that extra mile because of failure. And most people say, you know, most of the top what they call the CEOs, and say, don't be scared of failure. You know, don't be scared of failure. It's better off to be scared of success than it is failure, you know, because that'll keep you driving forward. I got Joe on the line, so let me bring Mr. Joe in. We haven't heard from him in about a good while. So, Mr. Joe, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
Hey, Eric, what's up? Hey, all people. Right.
Hi, Joe.
Hi there. You're not watching the chat, Ebony, although I
I'm on my phone. I can't see the chat.
That's too bad, because I was saying some nicely veiled insults about you. But that's okay.
That's okay. I can take it.
I wasn't insulting. I was just teasing you. But the thing is, I wanted to call in to say that Ebony is absolutely right, because I have my degree in finance, and although I didn't have my parents, you know, giving me the shove from behind, I was doing it by myself. You do have to have a sort of a market strategy. You have to know where you're headed, and you have to know if you have to believe that you're going to get this somehow. I didn't attain my particular goal because I was competing against Ivy Leaguers going for my particular goal, which was a portfolio manager as opposed to taxation, which is what your son was going for.
Yeah.
But in an indirect way, I landed into a profession that sort of encompasses finance. It's marketing. And I liked it. You know, I would have been, I don't know, I would have been happier, you know, working on the equivalent of Wall Street. But, you know, the advice that you were giving is solid advice. I also want to let people know, too, I've been on about 4 different shows purposely calling into these business shows to find out their business advice, and it sucks. What you've done, Ebony, I'm sort of speaking to you now, when you were talking was encapsulate the nutshell of what is really necessary in business as well. You have to know your market before you start doing anything. And that's important advice. What I did when I went into marketing and I became a marketing director, I worked from the way up, from the bottom up, and I've developed a plan which could show budding entrepreneurs how they could attain their goal in a certain way. That sounds very vague. What I mean is this. People will start up a business without doing any research and just hope that they get traffic, either foot traffic or now because of the web or social media traffic. I can show them within 2 decimal points what is necessary in terms of human effort to attain the goal that they want. And then I can let them know, is this what you want? Yes. Then the resources, the human effort, the time that you need and the staff that you need in order to get to that goal, it's either feasible or it's not feasible. Either you can afford it or you can't, but at least you'll know before you spend a dime if what you plan on doing is actually going to be achieved or can be achieved. So, and that's why I was calling in at different shows. They don't have that type of mindset. It's usually very vague, ambiguous, almost new age, very general, you know, search out the competition, do what you're passionate about, and stuff like this. But it requires groundwork. It requires not just motivation, which is extremely important, but you need a concrete strategy. So that's what I wanted to say.
Oh, Joe, we're in agreement. What happened?
Don't ask me. Good God. The world is turned to freaking crap.
Okay.
You know, that's the last time you and I will be in agreement.
Oh, see, that is so wrong. So wrong. But anyway, getting back. But, Joe,
yeah.
You know, I understand what all you're saying, as I said before, you know, but I still say, without you knowing, okay, we're going to say knowing yourself, I say know the enemy within you, which is the doubt, the, you know, the procrastination and stuff like that. You would not, no one on, in fact, no one on this line right now would have been able to accomplish what we have accomplished throughout our lifetime.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you.
No.
I think the enemy, Mr. Talk, is fear. The enemy is fear. Mm. I think the fear sits on the back of everything we do. Fear is there in our interactions with each other. fear prevents you from, you know, sitting in an organization, seeing that you could go for the CEO's job, but you're, you know, the fear would stop you from thinking that you're good enough, right? Sometimes to go for the things that you know you can do. All right. You know you can do it, but the fear just keeps, you know, it's that little nagging voice that says, hey, why me? No, no, I don't want to do that. Or even when you're on the edge of greatness, fear says to you, you know, you don't deserve that. You're not worthy. Or if you do this, people will know you too well. Or, you know, this will invade your life. Or this will make you change, or this may make you lose your friends. You know, all those things that come up in your mind are about fear. And I think if you can conquer fear, you can be the greatest person. You can do whatever you want to do ever. But it's understanding your own fears. It's understanding what triggers the fear in you as well, most importantly. What are the things you know, that make you fall into that whole pattern of fear, and what keeps you there. And the motivation, I think, is important, because if you can, you know, if you can hear something motivational that will encourage you to move past the fear and to do something that is going to empower you, or I would say catapult you to somewhere great in your, you know, whatever it is you've decided to do in your life. You know, that takes you to that next level, then the motivation is good. But you've got to understand that most of the stuff that you're thinking about, most of the things that hold you back in life are about fear.
Wow. That,
All right. This is the second time that she and I will agree, and this will be the last time.
Oh, shit. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
No, that's it. I'm agreeing completely with her, and
right.
I don't like it. Okay.
You know, you know, and those once again, Ebony, you said what I needed to say, what needed to be said. Mr. Michigan, you've been kind of quiet. Anything you'd like to add?
Well,
I got a little background noise, so I was just keeping myself on mute. But yeah, I think the sister's correct. Certainly motivation, and particularly if you've, you know, been kind of downtrodden. But, I mean, she's right on point. You do need the motivation. Some people need more motivation than others. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Okay, so I'm gonna put this to the panel. So how do you get around that? How do you get around that enemy of fear? I mean, to bring out your greatness, or, you know, your successful side. How do you get around that? No, is there any particular formula or a way to do it, or is it just hard work?
It's hard work and persistence. It's a lot of motivational speakers will say it's not willpower, but I believe that it's to a great extent it is willpower. You do have to realize what the fear is, as Ebony was talking about. You can have as much of a fear of success as you can of failure. Those, you have a two-pronged, double-edged sword there. And you have to say, look, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I fail. See, the good thing about marketing is that marketing encourages failure. Okay? It encourages, it's called testing. You test, and then you find out what works, what doesn't work. That's about the only profession that, you know, that really does it. So, but to answer your question more specifically, it takes a lot of guts, it takes a lot of introspection, and it does take courage, because, you know, failure of success might mean, hey, you know what, everybody might now look to me to do a lot of things which I may not be capable of doing again to the same degree that I've done now. Fear of failure would be, look, if I fail, then everybody's going to think of me as a schmuck. So it takes courage to go and just go ahead.
Well, I'm not afraid to agree with Joe, right?
Oh, God.
I'm really not afraid. This is a husband and wife team today. Let me say that, you know, courage is the first thing. But I think one of the things that works for me, and I can really only talk from me, is when I feel fear, when I feel like I can't do something, I have a conversation with myself. I really have a conversation with myself. So it's really, you know, it's really learning how to talk to yourself. And, you know, so when stuff comes up that says to me, okay, you cannot, I have a conversation. Why is this? Why do I feel like I cannot? What is it about me that, you know, makes me feel I cannot be the greatest person that I can be? You know, come on. And I start telling myself stuff. You know, the other night I was running in the dark because I got home late, and I decided that I would go running very late. And here it was about 10 o'clock at night. So I always have a little bit of a fear about running late at night. But I'd missed so many days of training, I decided I'm going to go and run late, right? And
right.
So I had the whole conversation thing going on in my head about, you know, people you might meet in the dark, what they might do, all the rest of it. And I said, not thinking about it, get my stuff on and get out and start running. And it was the best run I've ever done in weeks. It was great. There were people on the road who said hi to me. This is in the middle of the, you know, I was running at 11 o'clock. I didn't finish for an hour. But, you know, people said hi. I had fun. It was great weather. It was good air. And it was cool. And I was like, I should run more at night. But what prevents you from doing it is all those conversations that you have about what you think is going on out there. And it's not real because it's not happening to you. It's in your head because you listen to too much from the media. You listen to too many horror stories. And it, half the time it's about other things that aren't to do with you. What is your personal experience? You know, when have you ever been attacked in the middle of the night? Probably not. But, you know, you have that fear. Sometimes it's unreal, but sometimes it's real. But what you have to decide, is this real for me? Is this my reality or is this somebody else's story? And once you can work it out, then you can start doing things that you wouldn't have done before. And, you know, I did that when I couldn't fly on a plane for a long time. I couldn't take journeys up in a plane because I was afraid of flying. But it was that what got me out of it was a conversation with myself. You know, take the ride. Don't be afraid. You've got no control. Whatever happens will be out of your control. So let go and live. That's how it is.
All right. Let go and live. Wow. Woo. I'm telling you. And you know what, though? Maybe that's a good, because I have conversations with myself as well. You know, and I always say, you know, that's why I said at the end of every show, you know, learn to laugh at yourself, because sometimes that's all it takes, a little laughter, you know, and to make that fear or doubt go away, and you know, and you're good to go. But if you don't recognize that those type of things are happening to you, and those are avenues for you to handle it, then you're stuck in that mud puddle, and the only thing you do is seem to be sinking further and further down, you know. So, and you know, not everybody has the ability or have realized that there is an enemy within them. You know, I know most people say when you hear that, you think of spiritually and all that. But, you know, there's another side of this, too. And it's just the enemy that holds you back from being who you really are. I mean, that's my opinion. But let me bring Chris in and see what he has to add to the conversation. Hello, Mr. Chris. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm at peace. And how's everybody doing?
All right.
Hey, Chris.
Right, hey, talking about fear, what can I say here? You know, fear, yes, fear is a belief. And belief, fear, it is. It's a, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah, fear is simply
let me turn this up now. Let me turn it up just a little bit. That fear is a belief. And a belief are just thoughts of you constantly thinking about something. So if that fear is turned into a belief of that person, that person turns their fear into a belief, this is all they're going to believe in until they change their thinking. That's it. To me, what fear is, and a person that I can really respect a person that has overcome that fear, but yet it still failed time and time and time again with everything they've tried to invent and create themselves and to becoming successful. That's what success is really at. I'm a good. I have a lot of experience in doing that. You know, doing several things and it hasn't worked out, but I just I don't stay down. I get right back up and keep swinging and try something else and try something else. So those that are successful, they know what it's like, you know, things working out, not on the first, second, third, or fourth time.
Very few people reach the top in a non-obstacled way. They do have to go through trials and tribulations, and they do have to be knocked down. I've always figured there's two types of perfection. There's the Rocky Marciano type, and then there's Muhammad Ali type. Rocky Marciano was 49-0, never lost. That's pure perfection. But then Muhammad Ali was a three-time champion. He lost three times. He lost twice and came back for the third time. So there's two types of perfection in my mind. You can go all the way, never lose, which is cool, or you can just get knocked down and just get your ass back up.
Yeah, that's you know, that what most people believe. But what about those that you know, after getting knocked down so many times, just say, okay, enough of this, I'm staying on the mat. You know, like, you know, what can we tell them? I mean, what can they do to reverse that type of action to where they get enough oomph to where they can get up every time?
I think my advice would be to not just rely on, you know, the things we've talked about, but, you know, understand your intuition, right? What is, you know, sometimes we go into situations we don't have to go into. You know, we do things, we take on risks, we, you know, we start businesses or we go into ventures that we don't have to go in and be knocked down on, right? Because
right.
If we followed our intuition, our intelligence, you know, and what is your heart telling you sometimes about some of the things you decide you want to do, we wouldn't go there. And if we trust the answers we gave ourselves before we took some of those leaps, we wouldn't have to get the experience that we got. It's good to have the experience, but you don't always need to get knocked down in some situations. Sometimes you're being told up front, leave it alone. Well, leave it alone. What the hell? Leave it alone. Do you need to go and get knocked down sometimes? No, you don't. What you need to do is to use your, if you're not sure, give it another chance. Get an extra pair of eyes if need be. Go out and do more research. You know, really test it. Really think about it. Is this what I want to do? Is this my passion or is this about something else or someone else? Really work it through. And then, you know, okay, it might not work. And then you go with, if it doesn't work, you know, coming back again and going for something else. But really listen to yourself. And I think sometimes we don't. You know, even, you know, I don't want to go to relationships, but a similar thing happens with relationships, right? You often know, you know when you're making a bad decision, right? And it's life. It's a life thing as well. Sometimes we know when we're making bad decisions, but we don't want to accept the truth for ourselves. So sometimes there is something about listening to that voice, the voice of doubt, but also listening to the voice of reason. You know, when you know in your spirit something isn't going to work, why are you still trying to do it? That's sometimes what I ask myself when I come through something. I go like, oh, I knew. Well, why did I go there? Did I need that test? Probably not. So, you know, there are lots of things that happen when things don't work, and I think it's understanding, you know, it, all of it, and not just focusing on the bits that we can accept. Also look at where we went wrong too. What part did you play in that? You know, and accepting and taking responsibility for the bits that you do that are about you and not necessarily about what you decided to take on. Do you get what I'm saying? And some of it can be us. You know, maybe we're too eager. Maybe we didn't think it through enough. Maybe we didn't plan well. Maybe we didn't do the research that was required before we took that up and decided that's what we're going to do. You know, I've done that before. There are many little ventures that people have told me about, and I've gone, right, I'm going to do that. And then 6 months in, I go, why the hell? I knew that wasn't going to work because I didn't really think it through properly. I went on emotion, right? And
right.
So you've got to look at why you're doing stuff. Why are you doing it? Are you really thinking about it with the right head on your body, or are you just emotionally responding to what you think is good because it sounds great?
I've got two things. One, people too often talk to themselves and they're in contact with the enemy within. I think most people, or more people, should really try to contact the friend within when they talk to themselves.
Mm.
See, that's the flip side of the enemy within. Talk to your best friend. I'm my own best friend. Okay? I've realized that for decades. Okay? I love me. So I believe, even when I'm wrong about something, that, okay, I'm wrong about this, but I can swerve around it, change it, do something better as a result of my having learned from this. So I talk to my friend within. And the second thing is that I'm going to disagree with Ebony, because she had to bring in relations. Yeah, she had. I know. She had to bring in relationships, and I'm saying women don't even know, and she confirmed that in the last 30 seconds of what she was saying. They don't know what they're doing when it comes to relationships. So I wanted to say both of those things, and now I'm glad Ebony and I are on track.
Oh, good. Okay. I feel better now. More BS in the camp. Okay.
Oh, God, more BS. See, that's right.
Okay.
That's how we roll, Joe.
Yeah, that's like how you roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hear what Joe says about women not knowing.
Hold on for a minute. Ebony. Go ahead, Chris. Let Chris try and say something.
Okay.
Yes, let Chris.
Your question was, what do you do? What do you say to a person that's been knocked down and they just lost all hope, depressed, they're feeling isolated, all is lost? The best thing that comes to mind for me is what I always do to a lot of people I know is that way. It's just the first thing that comes to mind is just lead by example, you know. Never, fall victim to how they're feeling. But, the part of the movie with Malcolm, Elijah Muhammad was showing Malcolm X, you know, clean glass, dirty glass thing. You know, hey, this person has the dirty glass. You're the clean glass. And eventually, you know, they'll come around. It might not be, you know, 5 minutes, 3 months, but eventually over time, that person that is finding, seems like they just digging themselves in a ditch deeper and deeper and deeper. Eventually, it's only human nature to come around and go, hey, I want to try that. You know, I'm tired of this mud that's on my face. You know, Brother Chris' face is all shiny and clean. He keeps a few dollars in his pocket. You know, he keeps a smile on his face. You know, I want to know how is he doing that. How do you do that? The best way to do is just lead by example. You know, it's real simple to me. That's my take on that, you know. And stay encouraging things to people that you know that is down and out and feel like all is lost, you know. Try to be a mentor.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody needs a mentor or a coach. You know,
Coach.
I think, you know, when I started out in radio, I had a coach. I've had a coach for the last 3-4 years.
And you never listened.
And that, sorry?
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, a coach has benefited me, and the coach doesn't always, just like anybody who wants to do anything great or you, any professional person out there, you know, needs somebody in their corner for the times that we are just talking about, the times when you feel like, I can't do it, this isn't possible now, I keep falling down and getting this wrong. Someone who could see your vision, see what it is that you want and that you set out for yourself.
Hmm. All right, there's that phone call again.
That's not Ebony again.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
Hey, Ebony is an important woman.
Never turns that phone off. Oh, man.
Ebony is an important woman.
I'm surprised she doesn't have Big Ben on that damn phone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, always that phone.
That was my alarm. That was my alarm on my phone. I'm just so busy. I was trying to remind myself that I've got my show coming up. So that's why my alarm went. Yeah, so what I wanted to say is, yeah, it's good to have a coach, someone in your corner, someone who will look out for you. And those times when you feel like, you know, you're not getting anywhere or things are not working out the way that you plan them to work out, that person can remind you of the vision and what is it that you, you know, what you wanted to achieve. What do you need to do to get yourself back on track? That's how that person helps you. Like, so, okay, you don't feel like you're getting the outcomes that you plan for. Well, what else can you do? You know, where else will you go with what it is that you want? And I think that helps you. That really does help you to stay on track. So having someone in your corner, and that doesn't necessarily have to be someone. I think it's good to have someone objective. And I like professional, because if I have a professional relationship with you, it doesn't become emotional. All you're doing is looking at what I said I want and helping me to get there. So, you know, I think that's the difference with getting an independent coach. If you have someone who, like a, you know, a partner or whatever, they can be a good supporter. They can be like, you know, go on, hon, keep doing it and tell, you know, encourage you. But a professional person will be just focused on the mission, the vision that you have for whatever it is that you say you want. And they'll make sure you get there if they're good at what they do. You know,
you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. Because two things came to mind. First, on Joe's, when Joe said he talked to himself, you know, he talked to his best friend. You know, the question came to my mind, would your best friend tell you the truth? You know, sometimes we can talk to our so-called best friend ourselves, and we have a way of sugarcoating things and making it seem like things are right when they're not. And Ebony, as far as what Ebony was saying, I guess it's the same thing. I always have said that, you know, whatever you're doing, you need that friend. I call them that no friend. You know, that regardless of what's going on, how it may hurt your feelings or whatever, that one person that's going to tell you, no, this is not working. You know, because you can look at, well, you know, there's a lot of individuals say they're your friend. And like Ebony say, you know, they'll push you on and, you know, go ahead, go for it. And they know it's not right for you. You know, and you need that to tell you no.
I think you have to be careful when you're dealing with that. For instance, if you're talking about, say, a person who's having some difficulties in business, well, just to me, any friend wouldn't be able to give you, you know, probably good advice in that area. So, you know, having a friend, I guess it all depends on what it is that you're, what type of advice, you know, that you're seeking. The sister said, you know, with the professional, I think that's a good route. I would recommend that a person not talk to themselves too much. I think you need to talk to other people. Certainly everybody talks to themselves, but I don't think you should talk to yourself too much, because that's just an internal conflict. Because you have the, you know, you've got one side of you is going to say the negative side, and one's going to say the positive side. So you'll be at a stalemate. Anytime you try to talk positive to yourself, well, you've also got a voice that's going to talk negative. So I wouldn't suggest that a person be too much standing in the mirror talking to themselves and they end up with mental problems.
You know, but we're not talking about mental problems, but, you know, if that is the case, Mr. Michigan, you know, if that's the case, that goes back to knowing thy enemy. You know what's inside, and you know how to separate what your conscience is telling you. You know, as far as a professional mentor, a lot of individuals can't afford a professional. But there is always that one friend, you know, that no matter what is going to tell you what's what. You know, what's what. When I start having, you know, doubts or whatever about this show, you know, I call them and say, hey, look, I know that. And they be like, you know, say, yeah, you need to change this, or what are you talking about? You know, so, and I know they're not going to sugarcoat anything. They're going to tell me straight up, you know. So, and I do appreciate that. But I do have conversations with myself all the time. You know, that's probably why I take medications.
No, we all do. No, it doesn't matter. We all talk to ourselves.
Not just, I think, talking to yourself is good. I was mentoring this youth member at the high school. I remember last year when I was mentoring real good Boys and Girls Club in Chicago. I need to get back to that. But this kid, he was kind of like a little mentally challenged, a little bit. We didn't say retarded or close to slow, but just, you know, you can see there's a pattern of something going on with his thinking. And he said, a lot of people understand me. A lot of people understand me. So I talk to myself. And the only time I can get my feelings out is when I talk to myself. With me talking to him and telling him, you know what, all that talking you're doing, write it down. Write down all your thoughts down, what you're thinking. And you can see what your thoughts are being, what you can see what you be thinking about. Now it's 2014. He just won, I think, second place in the national poetry contest. So,
that was some good advice, bro.
Yeah, that's
some damn
good advice. Right, he's a little slow. You can tell the way he talks. And then, you know, I got him out of that, you know, man, that's good. You're talking to yourself and everything. But write it down. Write it down and put a little rhythm to it. So, I mean, you know, that's another thing I suggest, too. You know, especially if you're in the music business, radio business, and comedy entertainment business, or just a thinker, a free thinker, write down what you like to talk about to yourself, you know, and write down what you know. The best thing to write down is what you go through and experience. Put a little funniness to it or some music.
Before you know it, you'll have a book. And it's true. It's before you know it, you'll have a book. And one of the things I wanted to say was it's good to write it down because we don't have enough people in our community who produce books of what their thinking is, of their ideas. We lack enough people who are authors and create books. Particularly young people should be encouraged to write some books, write stuff, write it from your experience, what's going on in your world, share it with other young people. Right now I'm trying to encourage my son to write his story about his journey to this point, because there are other young people who are struggling to get the motivation to do something because they don't have a strategy. And he did a strategy. We created a strategy that worked. So he has a story now. And I said to him, you should go out and you should tell other young people so they can hear it from their peer, right? And that's called peer mentoring. And I think the other thing about coaching, it doesn't have to be expensive, but what you need to think about is when I go to that other person, right, what they tell me, the advice they give me, is it making a shift for me in a positive direction? Mm-hmm. Am I making changes in my own life that he's moving me on to a good point. Because, you know, people can give you a lot of advice, but it doesn't shift. It doesn't help you to shift stuff in your life. I used to coach because I needed to shift stuff, right? I didn't want to be stuck in ways of thinking, doing things that weren't helping me to move my life forward. So, you know, I knew that I had doubts, because we all do. That's part of getting older, is that, you know, we have things from relationships, from our lives, from being young, that we hold on to. Now, when you get a coach, a good coach, that coach will help you to shift that stuff and find the things that will help you to be more successful. So that's why
right.
he's a coach. And I think everybody should consider it. And it doesn't have to be a coach that's going to charge you loads of money. It could be even a mentor, an older person who's done what you are looking to do, who's willing to help you with some good advice to help you to make shifts to where you want to go, right? So that,
yeah.
I just wanted to share that.
And just shifting to another level of being successful. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
you need to make the shift. Yeah.
Yeah,
and a lot of
yeah.
us, we just don't make shifts. We talk about stuff, but we're not shifting. We're not moving forward.
I always,
look at it.
I
was talking about something 5 years ago, am I still talking about it? Or have I started doing it now? And could I show someone else how to do what I did? That's
I
how
always,
I test it. That's
I
the
always,
test.
I always thought you were shifting.
Oh, well.
You know, another piece of advice. You know, I think one of the other things that I would recommend to people is to be purpose-centered and
yes.
not self-centered.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think what that does is, like the brother was saying, it when you get in a funk, if you're purpose-centered, the first thing that does, it makes you want to go out and be of service to someone else. And I think that's the easiest way to get out of a personal funk, is to go and be of assistance to someone else right in that moment. I think that's an excellent way of, you know, pulling yourself out of that, you know, situation that you're in. And, you know, when you're purpose-centered, it kind of gives you the use of the end game, right? So when you have that end game in sight, you know, it allows you to adjust and adapt, but you ultimately, you know what the end game is. So that will help you as well stay on track, to be purpose-driven or purpose-centered and not self-centered.
Agreed, 100%. And I think that's where we go wrong in a lot of our business and relationships in life. We just do, we have no purpose. You know, when you're thinking about going on a venture of some sort, what is the purpose for you? Why am I doing this? How will this help me? How will this change the lives of the people that I say I want to help? You know, is this just about ego? Is it ego-driven, or is it really for a purpose that's going to serve the community or serve my family or serve, you know, my business interests? Why am I doing it? And also, why am I here? Sometimes we don't think in terms of, you know, what is it that I want to leave when I leave this earth? Do I want to leave a legacy, or I'm just happy to drift along and do what everybody else does? What is it that I want to do? And sometimes the things that we do are not just about us. When I do stuff, it's for my family. You know, I know that I'm their role model too, you know, and they are looking up to me to see what can you create. But what I say to them is, I'm going to do as much as I can do my lifetime. What I want you to do is to come and do even better, right? So you've got more years ahead of you. Do what you can do in your good years and, you know, and leave your legacy. Because, you know, I'll do what I can do up until the end. And I have to go. But you need to look at it as, you know, as having a purpose. Even when you're young, having that purpose in your mind, because time goes so quickly. Before you know it, you'll be older, right? You're not young forever.
That's true. That's very true. All right, y'all, hold on for a minute. We got to go and do this commercial thing here real fast. And when we come back, you know what? Ebony, since you keep skating across the top of it, we're going to take this thing into the relationship realm and have a discussion.
Oh, I've got to go through my show. I'm hanging on another 15 minutes.
No, don't shift away now.
All right, let me talk to you first, and I'll be right. We'll be right back. All right.
Yeah, I gotta do my show.
Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
All right, y'all, that was audibletrial.com/letstalk. You know, go and check out the books, man. You get, if you just go and look at it, you get a 30-day free trial, you get a free book, you know. And after that, if you want to shut it down, shut it down. All right, so we're talking about Know Thy Enemy, basically the enemy within, and we've been basically talking about the individual aspect of it, but now we're going to shift focus a little bit to a relationship aspect of it, because I think as you go along, you know, you have to understand that enemy as well. So, you know, we're gonna let Ebony go ahead and start it off, because
she's
here. Right. So go ahead, Ebony.
Oh Lord. I'm not gonna want to leave now. Okay, so the way I see it is, you know, when you decide that you're going to share your life, or, you know, have an experience of dating, or take someone to the next level in your experience, I think, you know, any connection that you make on this earth, you got to have a purpose in your mind for it. What is it that I want to achieve from this experience? Is this just dating? Do I just want to have sex? Do I want this person to have a serious interaction with me? What's going on for me? And I think when you have the purpose in mind, at the outset, the end result tends to be much more easier to achieve. And I think then you don't waste your time, you know, in kind of fraternizing with the enemy. So the enemy being the person that you're not looking for, the person that you don't want to attract. And that's worked for me in my life. You know, I mean, at the beginning, when I first was single after being in a very, very long relationship, I didn't have a purpose for dating. I was just like, let me see how it is. You know, I'm just going to go out there, have some fun, see what people bring and whatever. And I soon realized that the world that I thought was dating was not what it was, and it really didn't fit into what I wanted. And so I had to design a purpose for myself, and I think everybody needs that if they want to, but most importantly, if you have a purpose, communicate it. Someone needs to know what that purpose is so they can decide whether they want to connect with you, you know, and be part of what you want. It really is just about your journey. I see purpose as understanding your own journey. What kind of journey do I want? I'm someone who just doesn't want to drift along into stuff, and Joe knows that. I'm not a drifter. I like to be very clear about where I'm going and how I get there. And that's all I see purpose as.
Don't ask me to vouch for you, because I won't when it comes to relationships. Remember, I've been in your show for 2 years, okay?
I know. Mm-hmm. Feels like a marriage. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And we're just to the point of divorce. People need to know that.
Oh, I need to know that? Oh, just to know that. Thank you.
Well, I would say, to put it down there, the sister would make an excellent wife. I don't... are you single?
Yeah, I'm single right now.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, let me say I agree with you. You know, one of the things about being in a relationship I believe that if each individual is not clear on their personal purpose, I think you're starting out, you know, you're headed for a disaster. Because I think when a person can articulate what their purpose is, it tells me that, you know, that person is, as when within themselves, you know, a good deal, you know, meditated and they've engaged the world, you know, they've looked around the world, and if they come to an area where they found personal purpose, I think that you can, and if that people have personal purpose, I think you can make a good relationship. And one of the things that you do in that relationship is to help each other reach their personal purpose. I think that makes a good relationship.
Okay. Wow. I'm kind of speechless right now.
Woo!
Man, I tell you.
Well, in the African culture, the rites of passage for both males and females, you know, when you come out of the rites of passage, there's three questions that you have to have an answer to, or you have to repeat it in certain cultures. That's, who am I? What am I about? And what is my purpose? So now if you think about that, you're talking about young children at a young age grounding themselves and being able to answer those three questions. So I think, man, if you can find a sister and a brother who have both answered those questions, I think it makes a beautiful relationship.
Okay. So let me answer this. This relationship is together, and everybody's, you know, on the outside looking in, thinking it's such a perfect relationship. But on the inside, you know, one partner is having, I guess, doubts about they made the right decision. How would you handle that? You know, because that inner doubt or fear is raising his head. You know, how would that be handled?
Well, I think you go back to the agreements that you made. And I think what we do often, we don't start off where we, you know, with a kind of agreement, a joint agreement about what it is we want and how we're going to move forward towards what we want. And in joint, you know, you're creating something together. You're deciding together how this relationship will be formed and how it will develop. Now, if something changes along the way, what you agree is that, listen, if I have a change of heart, or if you have a change of heart, this is your right. That's your right, but you communicate it. And that means we go back to the table and we have a look at the agreement again, or if the agreement can even work, or if we even want to be together. All of that has to be established back at the table. And often we don't want to go back to the table because we start having those conversations we're talking about. We get a little cray-cray with ourselves. He don't need to know, or she doesn't need to know, or he should know that this is how I feel, or she should know that's how I feel because I'm acting up. Acting up is not telling that person, this is not working, that is not working, let's get back on track, or let's decide to let this go. But, you know, that's the problem we have, making agreements and behavior, integrity, you know, behaving with integrity within those agreements. And you guys know I always talk about integrity on my shows because I think that's what's lacking. It's not that people can't be together and do whatever they want. They just lack the ability to be, you know, to introduce integrity into those agreements. And that just means when you're unhappy and something goes wrong, you tell the other person. If it's over for you, you say, it's over for me, let me go. Do you know what I mean?
If you keep
it simple, it doesn't have to get complicated.
Okay.
But we make it complicated.
Well, it's not complicated, but that's the result of what happens when you have direct communication, which I've always said is not the way to have a relationship, because when you have direct, honest, open, blunt communication, you're ending the relationship. Because you're telling somebody, this bothers me, and I don't want to tolerate it anymore, and I would wish that you would stop bothering me. Now, the other person can change, as I've talked about on your show and on other shows, then you don't really have a problem, okay? But people don't want to change. So when you say to somebody, either we go back to the table or we lose it or we just drop it, that's direct communication. That's the way it should be handled if you're going to be honest, but it's not going to lead to a long-lasting relationship because
Well, Joe, I don't agree with you because, I've had a relationship with someone where we started off and the first thing we agreed was no drama in this connection, right? What we would do is be really honest about how we feel and how we think. And, you know, and I can tell you, you know, we agreed in the end to let it go, but it was the greatest experience for me to be with someone who could live in integrity in a relationship. Because we never had to argue, because when things became a little bit shady or I felt something was going on, we expressed, we communicated, we talked about it, we got it out, no matter how painful it was. I had to see if I could do it, if I could really go that full hog and say, look, hey, this is how it is, and not give ultimatums, not say to people, you know, not threaten to end the relationship because I wasn't happy about something, but really talk about it and see how we could resolve it. Because the whole idea of relationship is about growing together. How do you grow together? Along the way, of course you're going to have the bumps, but it's how you recover from those. You know, we decided to end it not for the reason that the relationship couldn't communicate, because in the end, you know, he decided that there was stuff he could not do and didn't want to do. That's fine. You know, that's fine, but it can end amicably if you respect the process. And sometimes we want an outcome, which is marriage or long-term. It doesn't always have to be that. It won't always be that. Some people, it's just going to be a learning experience. But it can be a good one if you set good ground rules and you have good agreements that you're both mature enough to understand and you work with. You just keep working with that person, right? Mm-hmm. You keep working with it. And sometimes little things are going to pop up for you, things from the past, right? Little triggers from what happened with somebody else. And it often is with somebody else. And you see it in that person. You go, oh, my God, I've seen this before. Okay? And, you know, when you have an agreement that, look, we're not going into drama, but we're going to talk about stuff, when that happens, you can say to that person, look, you know what? When you did that today, it brought something up in me. All I can tell you is I felt like I went 10 years back down the road, and I felt like I was back with someone that was a negative experience for me. You know what? What can we do to get past this? And most people, you know, when you kind of allow the relationship to evolve in that way, they respond positively. Well, what can I do? What can we do? Yeah, I didn't realize that was something for you in that way. Of course, because I wasn't there. I wasn't with that person. I wouldn't know. But because you brought it out, you allowed it to be on the table and for us to look at how we can work together to get past that. And I think if there's more kind of empathy, honesty, really listening to each other, hearing each other's pain, you know, relationships have a chance. But I don't think we always are that empathetic or have that sympathy for a partner who is also growing in an experience with someone they don't know. They're just learning about. So I think that's sometimes what happens. We're not big enough to let it, you know, allow that person to make mistakes, but to learn from those mistakes and be mature enough to grow together to the next level.
Okay, now you just brought in another element. See, this is the reason why I'm glad you and I are having a virtual divorce.
Let's keep divorcing.
Yeah,
because you know, you can't afford the alimony or whatever. You cannot afford to pay me.
Oh, you got that right.
Just stop it now.
So, you didn't even listen to yourself because you brought in a second element this time.
All right,
the first element was being direct
and
being honest, which I agree with you all the time. You always have integrity. But then you said, go back to the table, if you can't resolve it, then you have to let it go. And I said, as a result of what you finished saying few seconds before that was that, yes, direct communication, when you like that, does lead to a not a long-lasting relationship because you're telling the other person, I'm annoyed with what you're doing and you have to change, and that person doesn't change. Then after I said that, then you brought in the second element about trying to resolve the relationship. So you brought in a two-pronged argument. So you, what you really did was agree with me, even though you started at the beginning saying, I disagree with you, Joe. So I'm agreeing with the second proposition. Huh?
Well, the proposition I brought through is because the second proposition is not, it's just a tag on to the first, that in order to allow, and a relationship will last as long as you're both in agreement that you still want to be there. Right?
I agree. Right.
You both have to agree, I still want to be in this connection. Right. I don't want to disconnect from you because of whatever's going on between us. So you both decide, when there's agreement, you both decide that you still want to be in this unit for as long as you want to be. So at any time, someone may decide that actually, I don't want to be in this unit. As long as you still want to be in the unit, then you have to think about ways that you can keep it going. And that's all I was trying to explain, that in order to keep it going, what you've got to do is allow when those for those situations that come up that are painful to be dealt with, to be discussed, to for you to have a way, resolve it, a way forward and to move past it. And most importantly, to let it go. And let it go means not to keep bringing it up, not to use it as a weapon over that person's head, you know, when something else goes wrong, you know, not to use it, hold it in your heart like we do, right, and wait for a moment when you can back that person down about something that they did, to actually hear it, to discuss it, and to let it go, and to agree that actually we've learned.
And how many times have I said that on your show, that women should not whine and nag, and when I do, you and who's the other one from England? I forgot her name that she uses. That you start laughing and saying, oh, BS. That's male BS.
No, I don't say, we talk about men whining. And I think, Joe, what we said was that men should not whine and bitch. That's what we normally say. And I think it goes for women too.
And
women too. But when, you know, there's a difference between bringing up issues, and let's keep this because I'm sure there's people who are trying to learn tonight, and I am, I'm giving you lot one more minute, right? And then
okay.
I've got to go do my thing. There's a difference between whining and nagging and actually expressing your discontentment about something that isn't right between you and a partner.
I agree.
Right? And when you're expressing something that's wrong, it needs to be respected and heard by the other person. One of the biggest problems we have in our units is not listening to each other, really listening. And listening means you don't listen till you think, I hear something that reminds me that you're wrong, or, you know, I have to make sure that you're wrong and I'm right. Listening means I hear everything you say and I'm thinking in my own mind, when you finish speaking, what is it that we can do together? What can we do together, most importantly, to resolve this? Not what I can do on my own, not what I can do.
And that's very good advice, but what's the fly in the ointment?
Well, it's the same thing. It's fear. When we talked about the enemy is fear. And it's the same thing in love relationships. When we start bringing our own personal fears into that whatever's gone wrong and whatever is going on, and the fear is often that you will be like someone 10 years ago or a year ago or 2 years ago in my life. And if we can get past that and stop judging people based on past experiences, we will be able to make the new experience a new experience. Because it is.
Well,
it'll
it'll make it better, but still, that's not answering the question.
How do you want her to answer the question?
Here it is. Okay, you're gonna sit across the table, or you're gonna sit right next to the person that you really love, and he or she loves you. Right now, you've got a problem. So you're saying and agreeing that, yes, we want to stay in this relationship together, okay? Now, what she's suggesting, and which a lot of other people do suggest as well, is to let some things go, okay? For a while, you can do that. But again, when people break up with one another, why are they breaking up? Because the other person is, to put it in a nutshell case, is annoying them beyond belief.
And how are they annoying you if you are... going for real joint solutions to issues.
Because the person will not change.
Hold on. You can listen.
But and listening is good, and you can acknowledge what the other person is saying. But if that person, how many times have I said this on your show? When that person gets to the point,
because I've gone over my minute now, when that person gets to the point where they are unable or unwilling to make changes that will help the joint unit, that's when you use your integrity and you make the decision. You're not thrown out the relationship. You make the decision to vote with your feet and you say, listen, I cannot do what this relationship requires. That's what integrity is about.
Yes, to be sustained.
So it doesn't mean that someone has to make a decision for you. You man up to the position.
Of course.
You're not unable to do what it takes to
no,
keep
no,
that
no. Okay, whoa, whoa.
Okay?
Whoa.
You decide.
Okay,
actually,
I'm glad I always talk while she interrupts because
Ebony,
that's just the
way. I cannot be what you want me to be, so you know what? I'm letting this go.
Okay.
Or I decide, because I've only got a short time and I'm crossing you, so allow this.
I should show up on your show today just to finish this.
Yeah, show up because you know you're in love with me. But the other side is, and you see you chuckled because you know. Now, so the other side is...
Welcome to the real world.
Oh yeah, did you hear that? Did you hear that, Ebony? Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Ebony, you should send Jonah a bill.
Yeah.
Because
I got personal coaching
right now. Yeah, send him a bill.
That's right.
I'm gonna send him a bill. You know what? Because I'm giving him free advice and supporting him here, but you know, I've been
how you support me here when
years.
You're disagreeing with
he
me.
He just doesn't listen, Elsie.
I don't listen. I'm showing up on your show today. I'm going to show you how much I listen.
All right. All right. Hold up. Before y'all get carried away.
Oh, no, it's on.
All right, Ebony, I know you got to get up out of here, so go ahead and tell us what your show.
You can't hide, Kurt.
Go ahead and tell us what your show about today. And
guys, my show tonight is going to be about standards. Okay, and it's a good show. It's been your show tonight. Q Classy brought it up last week, or brought it up on Tuesday, that he didn't feel that men in America had enough class, that they would actually go out and have sex with any sloppy woman out there. They didn't regard themselves in the highest light, and he felt that they lack standards. So tonight we are going to talk about standards. What are your standards?
Wait a minute. Who brought that up?
Classy. Q Classy calls himself.
Too classy. Now, how a man call himself too classy gonna complain about another with another? Anyway, don't get me started, see?
I thought that feisty, really?
I've been on your show before, Eric.
So I'm talking about an ego. Wow.
No, it's not
but
too
anyway.
Classy. I think it's Q, and I think his other name is Classy. Isn't that right, Ed?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's
right.
Two names, yeah.
Okay.
Or whatever. I don't know. That's
there
what
is somebody him. Called Too Classy on BTR. I think it's a woman.
Okay. But I told him Q anyway. So he brought it up, and he basically said, you know, that's what we need to discuss on Thursday. So that's what we're discussing. And we're also looking at women because Steve Harvey wrote a book where, you know, his book, Act Like a Woman, Act Like a Man, Think Like a Woman or something. Anyway, he said that women needed to be a little bit more discerning in their choice of partner, okay? And that if a woman stepped up, a man would step up also. So that's my experience. I agree with that. But we'll see what you guys think tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Eric, you're showing up because I am. I'm going to make sure that
I'm going to try, Joe. You know,
see you later.
I'm going to try. All right, Ebony. You go ahead and get up out of here. All right.
Yeah, and prepare for one particular visitor.
Oh, Lord. Here you go. All right. Hey, while Ebony getting up out of here, I want to say thank you, Ebony, for all that great advice, man, I tell you, and for participating. You know, you're always welcome. You know that. You know, I always say you're my sister, so that's a good one. Oh, Lord. All right, gentlemen. All right. We got 20 minutes left in the show. And I want to make sure we all are able to get to Ebony's showdown between her and Joe, because I'm interested in this one.
Oh,
myself.
It won't be much of a showdown. She always mutes. She loves that mute button. She loves it.
I taught her well.
Hey, what's the name of her show?
Ebony Empress.
Ebony Empress, yeah.
Okay, what time does it come on?
About 20 minutes?
I haven't called in and talked on the show for a while, so I'm presuming it's the same time.
Yeah, it's still the same time.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. You know, if anybody in the chat room has that number, can you put in your number so we can give it to Mr. Michigan? If he wants to call it. All right. Well, since I just have you two gentlemen and we have 20 minutes left on the dot, I'm going to let y'all get your last words in, and we're going to start with Mr. Michigan. Up something. All right. Okay, so we go with Joe then. Your last words, Mr. Joe.
Well, I like the expression, the enemy within. I also believe, as I had talked about before, there's the friend within too. We should talk to both the devil and the angel, and then be discerning as to the advice that both of them give us when we talk to them, so that we can try to be on the right journey. But don't be afraid of failure or success. People will fail. You know, very, very rarely does a person actually achieve their goals without major obstacles in the way and without having to put in a lot of time, a lot of effort. We have to decide whether or not we're going to do it. Okay? So, and that goes for relationships, that goes for business, that goes for anything. Because nothing out here is freaking easy. You know? And you got to walk through fire sometimes, all right, to get to the other side. So either you're gonna do it or you're not.
Good point. Very good.
So
point.
That's all I really want to say, because I'm usually very brief.
Yeah, I know that's longer than normal. But okay,
it is.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Good hearing from you again, man.
I'll all be right. back.
Okay. All right, Mr. Michigan, are you there? Are you there?
I was on mute. Yeah, good show, brother. Sister brought out some good points. Everybody did. Just really no last words. Just good stuff.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And I do appreciate your participation as well. And we'll see you tomorrow on Freedom Friday. All right, y'all. Hey, I'm telling you. It was a great show. It was a good show. That's for sure, man. I think we covered just about every angle of this thing that you can cover. You know, know thy enemy, you know, and that's the enemy within. You know, and whether it's relationships or personal, you know, some would actually say that you can take it and broaden it out to include the community. You know, so, I mean, this enemy within, or know thy enemy, you know, has a wide range of effects. And the bottom line is, you still have to know your enemy. Know thy enemy, you know, whether it's within or not. But, you know, there were some great points brought out, such as the one Chris brought out with, you know, if you talk to yourself a lot and you know, having trouble, write it down. Once you see it in writing, becomes more, if you're thinking about it hard, but put it on papers, you have a tendency to understand what you're thinking and the message or where you're trying to go if you write it down. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, it's for some people it works, for some people it don't. You know, for me, I just let it ride around in the head, and I go to sleep on it. That's what I usually do. I have this thing that when I go to sleep, I dream of the answer. I don't know how many of y'all go through that. But, yeah, because I go through all the negatives and all the positives, and then, you know, eventually I answer a show up or an option, then I would try. You know, that's how I deal with it. But however you work, you know, but make sure you're being honest with yourself. You know, don't sugarcoat it to yourself. I mean, why should you? You're you. It's you. So why sugarcoat it if you know it is now? And another thing I thought about when they were saying it a few minutes ago, Yeah, don't be afraid of success. Now, let's be honest. Some individuals go and think they're going to have this huge success and, you know, blow up out of nowhere. Sometimes you have to start with a little success and build on that little success until it becomes the success that you foresaw. You know, and in that process achieving that success, there's going to be little times where you're going to fall a little bit. You're going to drop a little bit. But just pick yourself back up and keep going. And then you keep going. But if you let that enemy within get to you, you know, and say, oh, man, that was it. That was your best shot right there. That was it. Then, once again, you in the mud just going down, just spinning, not going anywhere. So those are some of the things to think about when you think about know thy enemy, the enemy within. Because it's just something we never really think about. Now, I know when you say it, a lot of people automatically go to the religion realm, you know, but we didn't want to go there today because we go there a lot. So, you know, we wanted to keep it on that the level we did. And I think it turned out pretty good, pretty good. All right, so tomorrow's show, man, is Freedom Friday. Well, you know, it's open forum, whatever you want to talk about, we can do it. I'll be here for sure. And I hope to see y'all here also because, you know, I enjoy y'all. You know, y'all, when I wasn't here, man, I was going crazy. Y'all just don't know. You know, I wanted to just find a computer or something and log in and get on the air, but I couldn't. I had to do what I had to do, all right? But I did miss you, and I'm glad all of you are back. All right, so before we get out of here, I'm going to play this 6 minutes clip once again, The Enemy Within. And after that, we're going to go ahead and close out the show. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. But make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and the best thing is learn to laugh at yourself. I always say that because I truly believe learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, oh, Lord, it's such a great thing. It really is. Other than that, that's it, man. So as I say, we're going to play this The Enemy Within. And don't forget to drop by Ebony Show. Starts in about 13 minutes, and we'll see y'all there. All right, so enjoy the clip one last time.
There will never be a point in your time in your life where it's the right time to do a great thing. If you're waiting for that perfect moment, that perfect timing, it's not going to happen. You know what you have to do? You have to create the perfect time and the perfect opportunity and the perfect situation. That a lot of people become comfortable. They stop growing. They stop wanting anything. They become satisfied. People getting ready to go to jobs that they don't like. Jobs that are making them sick. You see, when you're not pursuing your goal, you are literally committing spiritual suicide. When you have some goal out here that you're stretching for and reaching for that takes you out of your comfort zone, you'll find out some talents and abilities you have that you didn't know you have. When the messenger of misery visits you, what are you going to do? What will keep you in the game? There are things that you think you'll never need to know that you may only need to know one time in your life, but that could save your life because you had that knowledge. Unless you attempt to do something beyond that which you've already mastered, you will never grow. What is it that you looked at some point in time and you decided that you couldn't do it? That you talked yourself out of it? If you're waiting on your next door neighbor to make it happen for you, it may not happen. If you're waiting on your mother or your father, they may be so ancient in their thinking that they don't understand this opportunity that you have. And if you're waiting on them, it may never get done. You don't beg average people to be phenomenal. You don't beg good people to be phenomenal. You just are phenomenal and you will attract phenomenal. What reason can you remember that you can call on, that you can reach on, that can make you get back up? Find that reason. If you're not where you are, if you're not where you want to be, if you don't have what you want to have, if you're not where you think you should be at this particular place, it has nothing to do with the system, but it has everything to do with the fact that you're not making the sacrifice. I want you to make that dream become a reality, because if you don't, you will be working for somebody else to make their dreams become a reality. Everybody is against you or don't believe in you no more. And let me tell you something, that's a lonely feeling. It's a lonely feeling, particularly people that you're doing it for. Most people take their greatness, take their ideas to the graveyard with them. Listen to me, if it was easy, everybody would do it. There are people right now who are working who don't want to work. There are people who hate their job, but they keep getting up to do it. The wealthiest place on the planet is the graveyard. Because in the graveyard, we will find inventions that we never, ever were exposed to. Ideas, dreams that never became reality. Hopes and aspirations that were never acted upon.
The question is, what are you going to do with your time? What drives you? Greatness is a lot of small things done well. Day after day, workout after workout, obedience after obedience, day after day.
When things don't work out for you, when things happen that you could not anticipate, what are the reasons that you can think of that can keep you strong? You will never, ever be successful until you turn your pain into greatness, until you allow your pain to push you from where you are to push you to where you need to be. Stop running from your pain and embrace your pain. Your pain is going to be a part of your pride, a part of your product. I challenge you to push yourself.
See, it's easy to be on the bottom. It doesn't take any effort to be a loser. It doesn't take any motivation, any drive in order to stay down there on a low level. But it calls on everything in you. You have to harness your will to say, I'm going to challenge myself.
I mean that what you did last week don't count. Today is the only important day. There are 86,400 seconds in a day, and how you use those are critical. You got 86,400 today, and what you do today is going to cement who you are. Nobody's going to talk about what you did last week.
That the biggest enemy you have to deal with is yourself. There's an old African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm.
You have this opportunity of a lifetime. It means absolutely nothing if you don't take advantage of it in the lifetime of this opportunity.
I got a saying that when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, to work day and night for, to give up your time, your peace, and your sleep. If all that you dream and scheme is about it, and life seems useless and worthless without it.
See, it's time now. If you want to make this your decade, you've got to start saying yes to your life. You've got to start saying yes to your dreams. Yes to your unfolding future. Yes to your potential. As opposed to saying no. When you die on Easter. Leave no dream left behind, God. Leave no opportunity left behind. When you leave this earth, accomplish every single thing you can accomplish. Listen to me. You're going to be here one day, but you'll never get here if you give up, if you give in, if you quit. And finally, guys, you got to want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe.